It's an RBKD Friday. Let's do it today on the show. You're not going to believe why Martha Stewart broke up with Anthony Hopkins. Weird reason there. We talk a lot of NFL. We get into the NFL playoff preview and give our picks. Plus, we got some coaching updates and Texas hoops getting ready for Oklahoma State. That'll be a big one. He went from DB High to DBU. And somehow ended up in Detroit. He's in more private clubs than a swinger. He's as open-minded as anyone you're going to meet. Yet the man doesn't like white food. He's never had vanilla ice cream. He is a football theorist. He's an All-American. He is number 21, Rod Babers.
And my co-host, he is a lifetime Longhorn, but first and foremost, he is a lifetime Austinite, like the great ghetto poet Bun B. He is a conservative liberal who doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. My man was a reality TV star before Urban Dictionary was a thing, and yes, he's only got one ball, but more testicular fortitude than you or your whole team. He is my man, my co-host, the estimable Kevin Done. What's going on, brother?
This is close to perfect. I mean, it's not perfect because like 72 would be perfect. But if you're going to get cold weather, it's 50 degrees right now.
It is.
It's clear. It's not that windy.
Yeah.
The sun's out.
I'm with you. It's brisk. Feels good.
Yeah.
Feels good. So you can wear different things too. If you wear just long sleeves if you want to, light jacket.
Yep.
You know, it's one of those. I agree. It feels good. Shout out to my man Patrick back there doing his thing. At It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse. The heart and soul.
Heart and soul.
Thing MVP. Can't happen without him. The real MVP on a Friday. What's going on, Patrick? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. It is a nice day outside.
It is. Mm-hmm. You'll be See, working tomorrow.
Even Patrick's in a good mood.
Patrick is in a good mood.
It's Friday.
And That's true, too.
Is the 1 o'clock tip the best tip for you on a Saturday if you're going to be working? Because you don't have to get up super early, obviously.
It depends on what Friday night is.
Okay.
Depends on what Friday night is. There's no big Friday night this week, so we're good.
So if it was a good Friday night, then...
If there's other things, because it's like I wouldn't normally just myself go out and plan to do anything big on a Friday night if I know there's a game tomorrow.
Okay.
However, if someone else has planned something big on a Friday night and I have to attend,
got to be a good friend.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, that's important.
Got to.
It is important to support your loved ones.
It is. You could be a good friend and also not go out that one night.
You don't have to stay out all night.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just go there, hang out for about an hour. They would appreciate it. Matter of fact, you know, most of the time, you know, you get lost. If it's downtown hanging out, I mean, you'll get lost in the crowd somewhere. So, Patrick's doing the right thing, but he probably could leave a little early.
That's not staying up all night. It's just you wake up the next day, you're a little dehydrated, you got to run down to the Irwin Center. And the Irwin Center is not the best place to be hungover in. Just in the middle of the Irwin Center.
Why is that?
All the sounds.
I don't know. I just feel like walking down that hallway.
Yeah.
Where it's just there's nothingness.
Yeah.
It's just it's somewhat nihilistic when you're you're hungover.
That's deep right there.
It's a weird spot. The Irwin Center, and it's weird because I'm nostalgic that it's leaving, but I also know that it's one of those things. It's like a bad relationship that you can't wait to get out of it. You're just thinking about getting out of it, and you get out of it, and then you start thinking about some of the good times.
I think
I don't want to be with her, but there were some good times.
Of course, there were good times. Yeah, I think you should reflect on the good times.
Not of course, but yeah.
Well, why would you be with them if they're not good times?
Because I'm masochistic.
Is it that toxic?
And because I'm such a creature of habit.
Man, yeah.
Really hard to get me into a relationship. Once I'm in, stick around.
Even if it's bad?
Once it becomes harder to get out than it was to get in?
Right.
Yeah.
You're just of the ease.
Yeah. I am with everything in life.
Well,
it's going to be on my tombstone.
All guys are about that about relationships, though. Guys are cowards when it comes to relationships. That's why no man wants to break up with a woman. Men sabotage relationships more oftentimes than not, rather than have the awkward conversation. Because men don't like to have awkward
conversations. You've been following me?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, like women always use those words, right? Those four dreaded words, we need to talk. Men don't use those words.
No, you sabotage it.
Men don't feel like you need to talk about anything. Like, no, we don't need to talk.
We need to talk. We need to watch the game.
We need to watch the game. That's why I'd say men are saboteurs in relationships more often times than not. They just, you know, see how often they can push the woman's self-esteem.
I think you're on
how much stuff she's going to put up with. It's like, all right, you know what? Come on. I can't put up with this anymore. I got too much damn self-respect. And then they break up with you, and the man goes, damn, took her 3 months. I've been an a-hole for 3 months now. She took her this long to break up with me.
I'm not an a-hole.
Women are very loyal.
I'll just stop. Loving.
Caring. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. That's the thing of that home.
No.
Two different things. You emotionally disconnect like that, you become emotionally unavailable, a woman will tell you that's being an a-hole.
Very easily.
You cannot do that. That's unfair relationship to be emotionally detach yourself. And then, most of all, you have mystery. You don't tell them why. And then you, you get it wrong, man.
We should have a couch in here. I should be laying down.
We're just saying. You know, gotta let the ladies know why you're detaching from
them. I've gotten better at that.
That's good.
I really like your theory, though. Like, I'm not being an a-hole if I just don't ever answer the phone. Like, but doesn't that make you an a-hole?
That does make you an a-hole.
I answer the phone. I just don't want to talk.
Well, that's I don't know if that's worse, actually. I don't know.
Elaine did that. Remember that?
If we go to the coffee
shop. I'll go out with you. I'll go out with you as long as I don't have to talk.
You know what? Sorry. You know what? We need to start talking some sports. This is too good. This is like Dr. Phil now on this show.
Yeah, Dr. Phil.
Getting too good. Not Dr. Phil Good. Dr. Phil, the other one.
And I'm the person crying. The victim.
You're on the couch.
I'm on the couch.
You're on the couch right now.
No, Dr. Rod sounds dangerous. I don't know why. I feel like Dr. Rod is not. I'm not going there to get my 40
what do you think? What do you think about stop signs? Okay.
Blackman Freud over here. I'm going to get some of this psychoanalysis.
All right, let's get into some analysis of these games because I am going to be on the couch a lot this weekend.
Oh, yeah. We all will be, hopefully.
And that's where I really hope it's cold. I got all my shopping done. I'm good to go. So bring it. Whatever you got for a couple days.
What are your meals going to be for the big games? That's always, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that a big thing?
Oh, without a doubt.
All right. You got to plan that out. That's
I stopped by and I got a bunch of queso. Jaime's queso.
Well done. That's... Yeah,
you got.
Can't go wrong.
Do you remember Jaime's right across from Stubbs back in the day?
Yeah, I gotta make you some Patrick special queso.
Oh, you got some special queso?
I got some. It might be a little hot. Might be a little hot for you, but
that's fine.
It's some good queso.
I add verde into this one.
Yeah,
but I thought the Jaime's queso, the Jaime's queso and the Maudie's queso are my favorite quesos.
Yeah, that's good queso. Those are quality quesos.
Really good queso.
Can't go wrong. See, I love that yours is a little spicy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I remember I came up with some people from the Latin influence. So. That was at every party I was at. That's who I was hanging out with. So you got to add spice. And I love spice
now.
Myself. Yeah.
That's your palate now.
Yeah,
because most of my Caucasian brothers and sisters, they don't like too much.
No, but
really
I'm from Texas. Like, so I'm from here where I grew up on Mexican food and grew up on spice to a certain extent.
I know.
Like the gringos down south, our palates are much different than my dad's family in Chicago.
The ones from up north.
The people you knew in Detroit.
Yeah.
The people I knew in New York City.
That's what I'm saying, like the most of my Caucasian.
Because I would make stuff like that too, and they're like, whoa!
Yeah, exactly.
Which is universal for white people just trying to cool down their mouth.
But I'm with you, though. That's a great point. I think it's, once you're acclimated to it or adapted to
that's
it,
hot.
It's good. But like I said, most of my white brothers and sisters around the country,
they don't.
I mean, hell, too much. They don't even put a whole taco seasoning packet on their whatever beef they're going to use or meat they're going to use for the tacos.
How many jalapenos?
That may be too spicy.
How many jalapenos did you put in this?
The first time I saw an old white person, put pepper on something and then go like, too spicy. I'm like, that's pepper, man.
That's pepper. I know.
That's not spice. I don't know.
They're sneezing a lot. It's pepper.
Too spicy. Like that's not spice.
That's pepper, though.
Oh, I agree. That's a good point. All right. Random convo. Start off with random convo.
Where do you want to start? What game? You want to go Buffalo, New England? You want to go? Let's do this. Put in order the best games for you. Most intriguing this weekend.
Obviously,
Kansas
City, Buffalo is the most intriguing.
Yep.
Yeah. And then after that, I'm probably going to go with
Rams-Bucks.
Yep. That's exactly right. And then Titans and
Bengals. Yep.
And then last, I'll go with Green Bay and the 49ers.
That's my order. Patrick, any changes?
No, I agree with that completely. The Bengals and Titans is only really, like, it's really big because if the Bengals come and show out, then all of a sudden, oh, man, they're 2 years ahead of schedule and 3 years ahead of schedule. I don't think anybody's thinking it's going to happen. But at the same point, that's the most intriguing byline is how well does Burrow play in this game.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's the way most people are expecting it to play out is not that exciting.
I think the biggest thing is can they protect it all? I've talked about it, the 51, 52 sacks that the Bengals offensive line has given up, and they're going to be really dangerous. They feel like a really exciting team, but they're a year or two away.
Exactly, and that's where I'm sitting with it, but it's interesting the fact that I keep seeing people pick the Bengals, and you're like, am I missing something? Am I missing something, or did I watch all the same games you did, and they're not quite where you think they are.
Yeah.
You're watching highlights, not games.
They're a popular pick, but I mean, you start looking at Tennessee, 4-0 versus the remaining teams in the playoffs, versus the Bills, the Chiefs, the Rams, and the 49ers. I mean, they've done it. They're 4-1 versus Kansas City and Buffalo since Tannehill took over as a starter. They have the third best record in the NFL since Tannehill took over as a starter.
That's crazy.
Only Green Bay and Kansas City have won more games. I mean, you go look at what they put on, because I'm agreeing with Patrick, what they put on paper.
It felt like such a one-year bridge when it happened, didn't it?
It did. Yeah. I totally agree. I was like, oh, yeah, that's just a fluke.
It's a bridge.
And it turns out this year with all the injuries,
Adam Gase really is something.
He's a quarterback killer.
Adam Gase really is something.
He's a quarterback. Him and Jeff Fisher, man, quarterback right. killers. But Tennessee, how about this? Set a record this year, NFL record for the most players used in an NFL season. Used 112. They had 112 games missed by skilled players this year. 91 different players they had to play. I mean, that team is deep. And now they're going to be healthier than they've ever been. This is the healthiest they've ever been all year long. They haven't. A.J. Brown and Julio Jones have missed like 11 games combined. Derrick Henry was out.
How much Henry do you think we see?
After the eighth game. I don't know if you see. You know, that's a good point. I don't know. I don't know. Because he's been cleared for contact. But, I mean, what they have is working for him. This little quarterback, basically running back by committee. Sorry about quarterback. Running back by committee situation they got going here with Deontay Foreman mm-hmm. as the head of that monster.
Best year of his career by far.
He's going to get a contract extension from somebody. Somebody will sign him to a deal where he worth some money. And good for him. Dad passed away last year. I mean, he's had a hard year, but also his best year. So he's been overcoming adversity. But speaking of overcoming adversity, that's what the Titans do. That's all they do. They overcome adversity. They've been doing it all year long. It's hard for me to pick against them. But even though I do like Cincinnati, I think I'm picking the Titans in this one. Yeah.
I am too. I've heard people taking Cincy. And
I get it.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow's the real deal.
I guess the biggest thing we can say is what about this Titans secondary and pass defense? And also, how much can they apply pressure? Because if you can apply pressure, I think with this offensive line is so bad, you can get to him before he gets to you. But Burrow gets the ball out of his hands very quickly. And we saw that going back to LSU. He processes incredibly quickly. He's got a lot of pluses and a lot of positives going with him. But I think processing is number one.
Yep, totally agree.
Yeah, it's definitely a point of trying to just keep them out of the end zone. Don't let Ja'Marr Chase get behind you, which is easier said than done. But if you can do that, you're going to figure, look, we're going to get to Burrow enough that we're going to get down there. We're going to make him throw some incompletions. We're going to get a sack. So we're going to get out of some downs. And if we can score when we have the ball, if we can control the clock, we should be fun in this game as Tennessee. It's just Tennessee needs to not allow the big play because that's how you get people back in the game. But when you look at Cincinnati, as much as they've looked good, the Raiders were there with them last week. Mm-hmm. And it's not a great Raiders team.
No, it's not a complete Cincinnati team, getting your point.
So all it comes down to.
You could argue the Raiders outplayed them in a sense, too. Even though, like I said, Joe Burrow is the real deal. To your point about getting to Joe Burrow, when he's been sacked three times or less, they're 6-0.
Right.
When he's been sacked three or more times, they're 5-6.
And that stat alone proves you how much he's getting sacked.
He's been sacked 51 times, the most of any quarterback in the NFL. So you can get to him. And Tennessee, I mean, they got a really good pass rush, especially interior pass rush, which is arguably the most effective type of pass rush because you force quarterbacks out of the pocket.
Jeffrey Simmons and those guys.
Yeah, and then you force them to have these off-platform throws, which, by the way, Joe Burrow can make. But they force a lot of interior pressure, and to me, that is one of the keys, too. I think they'll be able to get to Joe Burrow. You're right about that secondary, though. It is suspect. Tennessee's pass defense is bottom 10 in the league. So if they don't get to Joe Burrow or he buys time, that's going to be trouble.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be trouble for Tennessee. So they got to make sure they get to him. And one other little nugget here, the Tennessee Titans are the best in the NFL in terms of their pass defense, actually. They're one of the best in the NFL at defending the intermediate pass, which is what Joe Burrow feasts on, which is usually considered the toughest place to throw. One of those places right there, right? It's very convoluted area. But he's the best quarterback in the NFL on intermediate throws, 156.8 passer rating. But the Titans, on the flip side of that, lowest completion percentage allowed and lowest yards per attempt allowed on intermediate passes. That's going to be important, too, because Joe Burrow getting the ball out of his hands really quickly, 2.5 seconds or less, 18 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He gets the ball out quickly, and that's why they use a lot of empty formation, second most in the NFL.
And you look at the Bengals, and there's obviously different metrics to look at it, but one of the rush defense metrics I was looking at today had Cincinnati as the third best rush defense. So that's kind of a nice matchup if you got that defense going up against. We'll see how much of Derrick Henry, but definitely Foreman, and we know what Tennessee wants to do. But interesting numbers definitely on Ryan Tannehill, and it sounds like we are going with the Titans on that one. I know you've been back and forth with the Bills and the Chiefs. I think there's definitely a case to be made for both. I'm still leaning Chiefs on this thing. Okay. It feels like they've come together. And defensively, they have been, we talk about defense, their defense has been, I mean, it's weird to say, but I don't want to say as good as anyone, but they've been at top five defense the last, what,
ten weeks? Since week six, they're the number one scoring defense in the NFL. Only Cincinnati, talking about the Bengals and Burrow, they're the only team to hit 29-plus points on Kansas City since week six. They scored 34, and a lot of it is adjustments with their personnel. They love sub-packages, love dime personnel, but you said it earlier, Chris Jones, Frank Clark, those guys have now started playing at an elite level. That's going to be key, too, man. You want to stop Josh Allen. You know, first of all, you got to pressure him, but then after that, the job gets even tougher. Once you force him outside the pocket, you have to run him down, or you got to tackle him in the open field. Even Honey Badger said, you got to treat him like a running back when he gets in the open field, and they do. So who's going to spy Josh Allen is going to be key.
Willie Gay is going to play.
There you go. All right. They're going to need him.
So even though he was arrested, he is going to play.
Yeah, that's why he's like, no, we need him. Usually we'd suspend this guy, but now we need him.
Yeah, and the Chiefs will let some stuff go.
But I mean, as much as the Chiefs have looked like they put it together, their last few games, other than if you take the Steelers, who put the Steelers twice in the last four games, where they beat them handily both times, they lost to Denver, or they lost to the Bengals. They won by four against Denver. They're not running away. They don't seem like the hottest team right now. And the Bills seem like the hottest team in football right now.
I agree with that.
No, and that's the main reason I'm looking at them is just you ride the hot hand in the playoffs. The Super Bowl so many times comes down to who's the hottest at the right time. And the Bills seem like they are the hottest team in football right now.
I can't argue that. I mean, it does feel like that they are. And I also feel like the winner of this will be the team to beat moving on. But this should be a hell of a matchup. I think Kansas City has grown a lot. And it starts with Patrick Mahomes, but they've matured over this year and learned to be patient and learned that not everything's going to be a video game like scoring drive. And now this after this last week, you're right, it was Pittsburgh, but a lot of that stuff was still checking down to some degree and taking what's given to you, but then getting yak and big plays after it.
Yeah, no, as a matter of fact, look at the last week versus the Steelers, right, in the wild card round. Patrick Mahomes had his lowest average depth of target of the season. He averaged 5 yards. It was a 5 yards as his depth of target. So yak was the key in that game, getting to your point, right? And now they've figured that out. They've actually now kind of settled in, and their yak is increased exponentially. Really since around week 6 or 7, they've really adjusted their blueprint. And Mahomes also has been willing to, take what the defense is giving him, trying to force the issue. How about this? There have been 6 games this year where the average depth of target for Patrick Mahomes has been under 6.5 yards. All 6 of those have come since week 11. So it has been a maturation for him. And now I think, he's playing really good football because now he understands exactly how the defenses are trying to play him. They want to take the deep shots away. They want to take the deep ball away. If that's the case, then underneath is going to be open. The run game also should be contributing more because they're playing too high safety looks, so they can't have a heavy box. They can't put 8 different guys in the box. So I think in a lot of different ways, it's a less explosive, less dynamic, less aesthetically pleasing offense, but it might be more effective.
Yeah, it's not as sexy.
It ain't as sexy.
It's more mature, though.
Which happens.
It does.
You get more mature, you might get less sexy. It's okay.
It's okay. Not everyone's going to Tom Brady this.
Yeah.
You've got
So Tre'Davious White, we've talked about. He's out for the year. He had season-ending knee injury on Thanksgiving night. Levi Wallace has really taken over that top cornerback spot. We know their two safeties are great, but how can they hold up against Tyreek Hill? Talked about Pringle and also Hardman getting more involved. And then just whatever they get out of the running game, they get out of the running game, because that clearly is not something. They just need to get enough out of that.
Yeah, I'll give you an interesting stat that I found doing research on the Super Bowl. No team has ever made it to the Super Bowl with a running back averaging fewer than 19 carries per game.
Really?
That's from the NFL. That's from NFL.com. And Singletary is right at, I believe he's at 18.
Where is Edwards-Helaire? I know he's been out, but...
I don't know. That's a great point. I got to look at that, too. Obviously, that will start to change as you get the quarterbacks.
That
now
is going
to
change.
Yeah. So we're just in the quarterback renaissance with the quarterbacks that can also run. I mean, the argument could be made right now that Josh Allen is the best dual-threat quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Again, right? I mean, it'd be hard to argue against it. I know Lamar Jackson is,
but Lamar can't throw like that.
Exactly. When people say dual threat, they automatically think legs.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, he's got.
That's
half
of this.
Exactly, it's half of the equation. Think about how deadly Josh Allen is when he's outside the pocket, and he still can throw to any area on the
We're not saying
field.
He's as electric as Lamar Jackson, because no one is in the league.
Exactly. We're talking about the total package
total
of being
package.
A dual threat, and I think he may be the best and the most dangerous. But, yeah, so I think they've been involved in Devin Singletary a little bit more, and that's why I think they've been adamant to try to involve him more in the running game and try to make him a big part of the offense, not because of that stat, but because I think they understand they need some balance. It can't be Josh Allen as the featured part of your running game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk a lot of NFL today. We'll get back to that and preview some of those games. Didn't even really touch Tampa Bay, L.A. We'll get to that. Maybe a little bit of San Francisco, Green Bay. That does seem to be the one that everyone, outside of Chad taking San Francisco because he didn't want to get a mullet in that whole bet they have. Everyone's taking Green Bay in that.
Yeah.
Fred Warner is going
to
play.
I'm trying to find a way to take my man Shano, but it's tough. It's tough.
They can win that. You got to lean on Jimmy G. And as we saw with Jimmy G last week, you get some good, you get some bad.
I'll give you some nuggets,
though. They escape the bad.
I got some hope for 49ers fans.
Beautiful.
And you're one of them.
I can't wait to hear it. We'll get actually stay in the NFL, but look at some coaching updates coming up next. And Josh McCown, that could be really serious with the Texans. Got a Cowboy who's having surgery and a former Cowboy who could be coming back.
All right, welcome back to RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with my man Kevin Dunn, Patrick Davis. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse, Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01, Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis. It is a live local. Oh, it's actually, we changed that. Sorry.
512 Fridays.
512 Fridays. I apologize.
Rolls off the tongue.
I'm thinking old school. My bad. I forgot. Middle of me saying it, I was like, we changed this. This is old school. Thank you very much. It is a 512 Friday. That is when we play live and local music. It's Patrick's idea. It's a great idea. And who are we listening to right now, Patrick?
This is Chris Duarte. He's playing tonight at a Little Longhorn Saloon.
Nice.
Chris Duarte, he's been around town for a while now.
There you go.
Killer guitar player.
Little chicken-ass bingo.
He's done it up there. I don't think normally that's Dale Watson who did it up there, and then they moved it down to Seaboys, but now they do the original up there.
Okay.
But it's normally Sundays. Normally Sundays at Little Longhorn they do.
That's what
chicken
I thought.
Chicken S bingo.
Okay.
Man, I almost slipped on that one.
Yeah, don't slip up like that, man.
Would my Austinite card bail me out on that one?
That'll get you in some trouble. Okay, we'll get back to the playoff previews here in a second. And just to clear up a stat that I gave earlier, it was when I gave a stat about the running back carries, it's running back carries overall, like for a team.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like for a team, not for one person.
Not for one guy.
Yeah, so that's
even more of a...
Because
I thought the Chiefs would have hit that.
Yeah, like nine, for one guy.
A couple years ago.
So not just 19.2, not that is 19.2 carries for one player overall for the running back position.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they're saying. And no team has ever done that. And I think the Bills were right there on that line of, you know, of and being a team with right around their running back position averaging 20 or less rushes per game.
And Patrick looked at the combined ones for the Chiefs, and I thought, there's no way it hits that Patrick.
Well, I looked at least Darrell Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So there is a possibility if you add in every other guy who jumped in and did a few, it could jump up, but it was only at 15, so it's going to have to be a lot.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. So it's but that comes from NFL Network. I didn't make that's Bucky Brooks. So blame him.
No, that's a interesting stat, man.
Anyway, all right, let's get to some local news notes and nuggets at the NFL level because we do have a lot happening in the offseason for the Texans and also for the Dallas Cowboys. Something we brought up and we were talking about. We had a conversation. It was a good conversation about which one of the Dallas Cowboys coordinators would you be most willing to part ways with, right? If you could keep any of the either one of those coordinators, which one it would be?
Keep Dan Quinn.
You guys took Dan Quinn. I said I'd probably take Kellen Moore, maybe for a different reason, just because of scarcity and the value of an offensive mind, because you just can't find a lot of them out there, and they're really tough to find. But yeah, you guys threw out there Dan Quinn. Let him, you know, you'd keep Dan Quinn. The reason I said that I'd let Dan Quinn go if I had to choose between them, and it's tough, is because I think on the open market right now you can find ex head coaches who are also considered to be defensive gurus. I mean, there are like three of them out there.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio, hell, Brian Flores, hell, Raheem Morris is another one. And now, of course, I forgot about him, Mike Zimmer.
Yeah.
He's out there too. He has ties and connections to the Cowboys. Todd Archer recently reported that he would, or at least named him. He wrote an article. I sent a report. He wrote an article and said that that in a perfect world, that you could possibly see Mike Zimmer be a fit. If the Cowboys lose Dan Quinn, he would be a better fit for the Cowboys than any of those other options that I threw out there. And I didn't even think about Mike Zimmer, and I don't know why. Probably should have thought about him first. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to be as good as Dan Quinn, by the way. Not at all. But there seems to be, right, unusual number of candidates to replace a good defensive coordinator.
I think you're right. I mean, it's cyclical. It's year to year. But some of that, too, is also kind of where we're going, which is not year to year, which is there is more of a value placed on these younger offensive minds.
Very true.
And there's a scarcity of those guys. So if you do have a Kellen Moore, you pay him, you keep him. And, yeah, I mean, I think the way you lay it out there, it makes a lot of sense. I was just picking Zimmer because – I think Zimmer has been more effective with what he's done with his talent.
Dan Quinn.
Oh, Dan Quinn, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, and I agree with you. I'm telling you, if we're just talking in a perfect world, I would agree with you guys and I'd keep Dan Quinn. I'm looking at the current
life
market.
Life didn't work like that.
I'm looking at the current market as it is. I'm looking at the NFL as it is right now, and four or five different defensive coordinators who used to be head coaches or possible candidates to be defensive coordinators who used to be head coaches or well-respected defensive minds, and I'm looking out there for the offensive minds, and I got a couple of ideas, but hell, like you said, everybody wants those guys. Everybody wants those guys. That's why Kellen Moore is getting job interviews. And should Kellen Moore be a head coach yet? I don't think so. And I love Kellen Moore.
That's why Joe Brady called plays for 1 year in college and then was calling him in the NFL.
And remember, his name was coming up for head coaching jobs after LSU.
It was crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Because everybody wants that new, that young, hot offensive mind.
Get in early.
I mean, we just saw Ben McAdoo go to the Panthers as OC. So if that's your talent market for offensive coordinators, that proves your point much more.
Matt Rhule is desperate, isn't he? Wow.
Well, you need someone to fire about week six, don't you?
Matt Rhule's going to be fired.
You know what
year,
that means? If he settled on Ben McAdoo as his OC, that means he couldn't get any other OC. You know, Pep Hamilton turned him down.
Yeah.
Why would you go there after he fired Joe Brady?
And they don't have a quarterback.
Like, after you scapegoated a guy, why would you go under him? You're like, look, I'm getting fired when you get fired, or you're firing me before you get fired.
Yep. Right.
But either way, I'm not coaching here in 2023. And I know that.
Yep.
So why would I take this job?
Jacksonville is such a sexier place to go. And trust me, I understand. I say that because Jacksonville's got all sorts of issues. I don't know about Khan, But you got Trevor Lawrence there.
Got Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. I agree with you.
I think Big McAdoo just knew. He's like, oh, I've already been a head coach, so I'm first in line for interim head coach when they fire Matt Rhule halfway through the season.
Right, which just seems like
so
it's going
to
happen.
So I can kind of get my name back up there in those conversations. That seems more like why he took this
job. I think I'd rather have Jason Garrett than Ben McAdoo.
Whoa.
Oh,
am I rough about that?
I feel like a whole bunch of Cowboys fans had to pull over. Yeah. Right.
Listen, you want to get shot or you want to get stabbed? I mean, it's not talking about great possibilities.
Either way, I don't want
you just caused a pileup on 360.
Rod, it's the best way, bad idea. Ben McAdoo?
Whether I'm getting shot or stabbed, I don't want the person to clap over me after they did it. That's all I know.
Hey, you know what? We'll see about Ben McAdoo then with Matt Rhule. We'll see how that works out. You guys might be wishing for Jason Garrett by midseason.
It goes back to proving your point of if you go, hey, man, we have to choose between Mike Zimmer and Vic Fangio, or, well, they already got McAdoo. He's off the table.
Yeah.
That it can lower, you know, it's a different level of
that's kind
of
where I am, man. I agree with both you guys. You guys are right about Dan Quinn, ideally, but that's in a perfect scenario, and this is not a perfect scenario. You gotta make your choices oftentimes, you know, a Sophie's choice, the best bad choice.
Josh McCown, getting back to your young, hot offensive names.
Oh, man, look at this guy. Wow.
I don't want to say came out of nowhere because he interviewed last year for the same gig.
Yes, he did.
But it sounds like you heard the end of Shirts and Skins that they are really, really hot on with this guy, and they want to hire him, but they want it's almost like they want someone else to want him too.
Yeah, Pro Football Talk is reporting so the Texans. The Texans, I'm telling you, it's comedic when you start talking
it
about
it. It is. Are you unsure of yourself?
This is why Patrick had to renounce his fandom. He's done with it. So he doesn't have the emotional attachment I do.
Actually, I'm going to give him credit. They should be this unsure of themselves.
Yeah, I'm laughing to keep from crying. I mean, this is a full-on fuster cluck. But Pro Football Talk is reporting that the Texans, who really want to hire Josh McCown as the team's next head coach, who has little to no experience as a coach. Matter of fact, he was on the Texans practice squad in like 2020. Like he was on their practice squad in 2020. So he hadn't had much time. He just retired as a player. But they're reporting that they want to hire him as their next head coach. But the Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Serena Williams size, Cardi B size, but is they know that they would be the laughing stock of the league if they did it without another team legitimizing his candidacy with an interview, because everybody's getting interviews. I mean, everybody gets an interview. Hines Ward got an interview.
Yeah, Mayo.
Everybody's getting an interview now. So if this guy is a legitimate candidate, he should at least be able to garner another interview with a team. And right now, they're struggling to legitimize his candidacy because no other team wants to look at him to interview for any type of coaching job right now.
Yeah, as much as I cannot stand this management, I'm taking this story with a grain of salt, that it's one person reporting it and that it's they really want to do it. And you're like, I could believe there's someone in the Texas organization who wants to hire Josh McCown. I could believe there's one person that wants to hire him as a head coach. I don't think the organization as a whole would walk into a board meeting unless Cal McNair said, we're hiring him. I don't think there's anyone who would go, hey, yeah, let's hire this guy with zero coaching experience to take over a team that we might need the most coaching in the NFL. Because we have no identity, we have nothing going for us, we don't know who's going to be on the roster next year, and heck, we were talking about getting rid of Laremy Tunsil, who's the only player that has any value on our team left.
Yeah.
Why would we bring in somebody who'd be like, hey man, let's find out, you know what, everybody switch positions tomorrow, who cares, what does it matter?
I will say this, that if you're going to gamble on someone who's got no coaching experience, do it with the job you have right now, because you may run into something. But you're not trying to win right now. Your winning coach is not this hire. We know that. Mm-hmm. So you got rid of Cully, but you still just laying concrete with this thing. You are at the beginning of the rebuild. And actually, as I've said, that's also on pause right now. So we're not even pouring cement because we got to get permits or something like that. And the permit is, what the hell is going to happen to 10 or 4?
Yeah, we don't know. You can't start the rebuild at all until you figure out what you're going to get for Deshaun Watson and how you're going to unload Deshaun Watson. Here's John McClain.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
It's the one time, like, if anyone's contending in doing this, you're going, what are you doing?
Yeah, and if you
may run ass backwards into some young offensive hotshot. Yeah. If not, you fire him in a year or two anyway.
If you like him, you're doing him a disservice by hiring him now.
Yeah. Oh,
if
right.
If you like him, he's like, no, man, go get a job somewhere else. And trust me, in like 3 or 4 years, we will come looking for you.
Mm-hmm. Or we'll because hire we really you, like put you. Put you anywhere else on this staff.
But here's a John McClain. Here's a quote, a tweet, excuse me, from John McClain, at McClain underscore on underscore NFL. Covers the Texans. And this might be probably the worst case scenario for Texans fans because, yes, you're going to need, you know, Cal McNair, the ownership, to sign off on any hiring, especially a hiring that is as absurd as a Josh McCown hiring. But if Jack Easterby, who is the right-hand man, arguably, you know, consigliere, and some people say Littlefinger, who has the ear of Cal McNair, all right, if he likes Josh McCown, then maybe something crazy can happen. Here's a tweet from John McClain. Josh McCown and Jack Easterby are buds and this close with McCown having, and he said this close, he put the words together. He smushed it
together. Ah, gotcha.
Very close, yeah. This close, yeah. He thought he was funny. With McCown having no coaching experience, Easterby has gotten his close friend 2 head coaching interviews with Texans in 12 months. So, like I said, once again behind the scenes, it is Littlefinger. Right, and Littlefinger wants to get his friend Josh McCown, who, by the way, they are brothers in Christ. That's important because, you know, basically the Texans are, there is a portion of the Texans leadership that wants a faith-based business model.
Okay,
they want a theological, theocratic team building, basically. And I'm not sure everybody wants that, but Jack Easterby is part of that leadership that wants to at least have that influence on the blueprint and on the actual organization.
I think that should absolutely be allowed in the building, but it doesn't need to be required.
No, but I think, like I said, this is the influence of Jack Easterby, and I think that's part of him getting Josh McCown all these interviews. So, like I said, you ain't Chick-fil-A. I'll say it again. You ain't Chick-fil-A, and your nuggets ain't as good as Chick-fil-A's. So I would be very, very cautious about giving Jack Easterby a ton of power, which he still obviously has.
Yeah.
A ton of influence with that organization.
Getting people interviews.
He's getting Josh McCown interviews. So he's like, oh, that's no harm in that. Well.
No, there can be harm in that.
There can be harm in that.
I mean, like.
Because you're wasting those interviews on people who are probably, in my opinion, there are much more worthy candidates.
Right.
If you're a Texan season ticket holder and they hire Josh McCown, Jack Easterby's still there. You didn't trade Deshaun Watson because you still want 3 first, and there's no one in the free world who will give it up for him right now. So you're sitting next season. Do you just say, no, I don't want my tickets anymore. I don't want to go. I don't want to support. What does it take for people to officially stop going to this arena and stop going to the stadium and say, you guys, you have made this not a football team anymore? If you want to go to church, Joel Osteen's down the road. Go to church.
No, don't go to Joel
the basis Osteen. Of
yeah,
this.
Right.
The basis
of churches to go to.
No. But I'm saying if you want to make this a football, that's good. If you want to make this a football team, let's make this a football based program and not worry about anything else. And everything else can be parts of it, but be football based. And our decisions are based in football and nothing else, because.
Right.
If you're not basing every decision you're making in what's the best move for the football team, then you are already in last place in the NFL.
No, it wouldn't fly in New England because Bill Belichick wouldn't have it. He wouldn't have it.
And this has nothing to do with Christianity really anything into a business.
Exactly. And you know what? That can be a part of the business, but...
Of course it can be. And it should be allowed there, and you should have... I mean, I'm sure a lot of those players, you know, we see a lot of stuff. We see guys... kneeling and praying after games, all that should be allowed.
Yeah, this is about
right?
Jack Easterby.
It shouldn't be required.
This is about Jack Easterby and Jack Easterby's manipulation of the power vacuum and void and the leadership void with the Texans, because Cal McNair trusts him, and Cal McNair really has no idea how to be the owner of a NFL franchise. So, and hire somebody. And I think hiring Nick Caserio was, I think, a good move in the right direction. But he has admitted he ain't firing Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby ain't going anywhere. So Jack Easterby is going to be there. And he's going to be making decisions, crucial decisions, which is a little scary.
I think Patrick maybe made the right move. We'll tell you who that cowboy is who's getting surgery. It is one of their 22 unrestricted free agents. And what about the Super Bowl on Saturday? We thought about this. Well, we've talked about this for a couple years, but now there's a petition to make it happen. 512 Friday here. We're going to do some musicians from the 512 to maybe go out and see this weekend. Welcome back. It is RBKD. You know, Chad is one sicko. So we've got these mini helmets behind us of all the Big 12 teams. And I guess I'm a sicko because I put them in order of the final standings. Just so if we're talking here in the spring, right, and it's like, hey, where did Texas finish? Fifth, sixth, whatever,
I like that.
Right?
Yeah, that's cool.
So Chad, at some point, rearranged them because it bothered him so much because he's a real big alphabetical guy, so he put them alphabetically now.
Wow.
Yeah. You are working with some sickos, guys.
I would rather color coordination if I was going to do it in a just weird way. I'd rather the color than the alphabetical because you can't even see. That is real. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't know. That's weird to me.
And he made sure he really lined them up where they're all in order.
Is it alphabetical by school or by mascot?
By school.
I guess got to figure it out.
It's Chad.
Let me ask. I'm going to ask Chad and be like, it's not by mascot, though, and I'm going to let him try and figure that out in his head.
Yeah.
You may cause a headache. He's just going to explode.
Now, look, seriously. We know he's driving home right now listening, so he's going to right now try and he's going to have it ready. Print it out before he gets in on Monday.
It's freaky, man.
Chad, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to mess around with him. We're going to see exactly. And I don't know when he did this either because I've been checking it.
I think he does it during breaks. Day. Like on breaks.
Well, that's when I did it. So
he wasn't here today.
He wasn't here today.
I know he was.
Yesterday, I guess.
Feel like that person. I see her at the mall every time I'm there. She's probably saying the same thing about you.
You guys are playing a sick little game over here.
We are. Hey, one of Chad's players, he's a big Cowboys fan, still dealing with the loss like a lot of y'all are. Randy Gregory, he is a free agent, is scheduled to have surgery on his left knee. Did not miss a game in 2021. Did have the knee issue, but still played really well. And Rod, we talked about the top free agents, and we put him at the top of the list.
Yeah.
How much does this maybe affect signing him? I mean, as long as everything's going to come out, they think he's going to be fine. So that shouldn't affect it.
Yeah,
right?
It shouldn't affect
if anything,
it
help
at
out.
Because then he can argue that he was hurt. He was playing on a little bit of a bum knee.
Right.
If anything, but I don't think it'll hurt at all. Like I said, but if anything, this is one of those things. If it does, say there's some team who is concerned about passing the physical and they want their people to look at them, that would also, in my opinion, help. That would be help the Cowboys in this negotiation in terms of the leverage, because that would bring his value down. If you're the Cowboys, you want his value to drop so that he's a little bit cheaper for you. He's just open market, and he's one of the top free agent pass rushers. You're not going to be able to afford him.
He had 6 sacks first year in his NFL career, going back to 2015, that he hasn't been suspended by the NFL.
Which is also going to drop his value, so you know that.
Right.
On the open market, some people are like, I'm not touching him. I'm just not going to touch him. I don't want to deal with
that. You can't put that together 2 years in a row, can you?
Yeah, exactly. So Jerry has a little bit of an advantage there, and I think, because Jerry has fought for him and been, has actually supported him through all this trials and tribulations, a lot of those of his own doing. I think there could be some room for a hometown discount, maybe, possibly.
I see you on that one.
Just because he's been through a lot, and Jerry has been obviously really supportive and loyal.
You were giving away hometown discounts yesterday like Oprah does cars. And you get one, and you get one. That one, though, that one definitely makes sense. You actually had good reasons for all of them. That one really makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so we got the Super Bowl on Sunday this year, as it always is. And I know a lot of us talk about that, those of us that work the next day, that why not make this a game on Saturday, right?
Or make Super Bowl Monday a holiday.
Ooh, one or the other.
One or the other.
One or the other. The problem, though, is that that's hard to do because that's a bunch of different businesses.
It is.
And there may be someone saying, well, that's fine. If other people are doing that, we're not doing that. You're working tomorrow.
And
that
I hate to break it to you. You guys, we'd be working on that.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, we're still working.
Exactly.
I'm thinking about that, too. So there's an 18-year-old high school student, Frank Ruggeri. He's from Palm Bay, Florida. And he started an online petition to move Super Bowl Sunday to Super Bowl Saturday. And it's gained almost 80,000 signatures. Like, this thing's really taken off.
Oh, yeah.
And this is, look, we can't agree on a lot in this country. I think we can agree on this. Either move it to Saturday or, like you said, make Monday just a Super Bowl national holiday.
He should, make it like, I don't know, some national day of service or something. You could do something cool.
So how about this kid? It's fun. Can you imagine, your brain just thinking about this type of stuff at 18? Because I certainly wasn't. He said, it's really, really important to me because 17.2 million people miss work. That's $44 billion less of productivity.
This kid is thinking.
He's 18.
This kid is thinking about economics.
This kid's going to own four businesses in about 10
this
years.
This kid knows how to get out of some chores right here.
Yeah.
This kid.
Yeah.
Let me break down the numbers for you here.
Wow. Right.
I have a hangover, but let me break down the numbers.
That's been a thing, though, for a while. People have talked about that forever, that people don't really go to work. They go to work, but they don't really work it.
They don't really work.
Yeah.
We talked about it with the tournament, the NCAA tournament.
Yep, same
you just
thing.
Don't get nearly as much productivity. They've done studies on that. So Roger Goodell said the television audience is larger on Sunday, and we know, just like any commissioner, he's a whore, a marketing ratings whore, and he wants that. But Ruggeri challenged Goodell's reasoning, saying that Commissioner Goodell, there would be more viewership, the people will be watching, bigger party, and I think the economic impact would be easier to have it on a Saturday. I tell you what, this thing has gotten so big because you would get more on Sunday for most things. I don't think you'd lose anything. And you may actually even gain something
viewing.
On Saturday.
It's
right. And the reason they don't like to do this on Saturday with most games is because people are out, they're doing stuff. They would be out doing this. Those would be the parties that you're going to.
Yeah.
That's how big this thing is.
It's the biggest social, arguably the biggest social occasion of the year, potentially, sports-wise.
Right.
Because everybody, it's a social agent. Everybody gets together for the Super Bowl parties. People who don't even care, give a damn about football, yes, they're going to a Super Bowl party, watching commercials, all that. Yeah, I'm with you. The pageantry of the Super Bowl halftime show, which this year will be a hip-hop oriented halftime show, first time ever. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think because now it is so iconic, they wouldn't lose anything.
Yeah.
Everybody builds their weekend around that game.
I think you've built it up so much that it doesn't matter where you put it.
I agree.
Don't put it at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday, but if you did, a lot of people would be at a party and you're not working that day. Saturday night, you're going to be fine.
Yeah,
and I think there's enough advantages there for people where you could really blow that thing out. And I mean, there's some people that if there is a game that's already out of hand, a lot of people are leaving in the third quarter, fourth quarter.
Yeah, no, he's about tradition.
I'm going to go work tomorrow.
Yeah, no, he's about tradition. But you know what? The NFL, they are known to break tradition.
Is he about tradition or is he about money in this?
He's about cash, so I guess you can make it worth his while or make him see the dollar signs of it. He'd be willing to change his mind.
So this is where I think the money is. Is he gets a full Saturday, too. You get a full Saturday of NFL, where you get NFL coverage and all the parties and everything happening Saturday and Sunday. Now, if you do it on Saturday, I don't know what you're doing on Sunday because now that's a hangover recovery day. You have to figure out something that they do on Sunday then. To still keep that money.
That's a good point.
And that's, I think, where the money is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the cities, right?
And
the cities want that extra day of people going out, eating, hanging out.
And I think, you know, you just push that and go Thursday, Friday. You know, you still
you
do that
push
on.
Push it back a little bit.
Yeah,
one
I think
day.
It's all fine there. Yeah, I mean, and then you have to work. This is what I do is I'd work with the NBA, and I'd be like, hey, man, Sunday, we schedule the best games of basketball on that Sunday, and we make it a big deal because that's everybody's going to be at home. And watch basketball day because now football is over. It's basketball time. Let's get things kicked off.
Yeah.
And then everybody be like, oh, I watched that one game and it was fun. I saw LeBron play and I saw LaMelo Ball play. But I was at my house. I'm just chilling at my house then because I'm not going out anymore.
You know, the NFL, they want to monopolize the sports calendar. They don't want to share it with anybody.
I'm just saying pipe dreams.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's a good idea.
Fandom.
But the NFL is just so selfish when it comes to their market share. They don't want to share it.
It's also so much
bigger.
There's so many people that watch the NFL that don't give a crap
about
the NBA.
Or
MLB.
The crossover audience is not that big.
Remember, we gave the numbers. MLB and NBA are right next to each other.
Yeah.
Like they're side by side.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL is miles up.
It's
you can
monster.
Barely see them.
Yeah, it's a monster.
All right, 1 hour in, 3 hours to go. Hope y'all are having a good Friday. This is RBKD. It is the Horn, so we're going to talk about the Horns coming up next. Tech fans found the UT code. We'll get into that story. Texas Hoops preview against Oklahoma State and some spring enrollees we'll be looking at.